Welcome to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their purpose, their passion, and their generosity. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I invite you to join me for a conversation about how our guest is making a difference and learn how you can make a difference as well. With regard to raising children specifically, it requires the shared effort, the support, and the interaction of a community rather than just a few individuals. It highlights that a safe and healthy environment built by neighbors, friends, and family is essential for success and nurturing. My guest today is Natalie Anderson, founder of Fostering Community, who partners with local organizations, nonprofits, and individuals who desire to make a difference and who want to be that village for those involved in foster care and adoption through family events, tangible needs, resources, and community connections. Welcome to the show today, Natalie.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are certainly welcome. Well, let's start by having you tell us what made foster care and adoption personal to you. What's the story behind Fostering Community?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people think that I have a foster child, which I don't. I have a really close friend that adopted 3 kids from foster care. And then my oldest niece on my family side is actually adopted from foster care too. So that's kind of how I have a foster care connection. But I think really where my heart came from foster care, I have a background in social work. Okay. And I've done a lot of work in domestic violence shelters, homeless shelters, things like that. And I kind of have worked with women that maybe aged out of the foster care system who never got that consistency, that love that was needed. And you see a lot of people who enter into foster care adoption wanting a baby. And I always think, what if we cared for the 16, 17, 18-year-old girl as much as we care for the baby. And right. So how do we kind of love bio parents, but also support families that have a 2, 5, 8-year-old kid and support them so that we don't see those kids age out of the system and then they're able to have kids themselves that know what it's like to be in a healthy, safe environment?
I imagine sometimes the work seems heavy and hard when you're dealing with these children individually and these families. What keeps you showing up for them?
I feel like it might sound a little weird to say it doesn't feel as heavy and hard as other work that I've done in the past. And I think I've built good boundaries to separate myself a little bit and being able to come in and be what these families and these kids need. I know that they're carrying a lot and it's heavy and hard for them. And so since I'm not connected, like they're not my kids, I feel like I can kind of come in and maybe be a little more like healthier person who's not as focused with everything going on to kind of come and help meet some of those needs or just think about things that they don't have to think about or provide opportunities that maybe wouldn't be an opportunity for them else otherwise. So,
okay. Yeah. So it's not that it's not heavy and hard at times. Mm-hmm. It's not as heavy and hard as some other things you've done.
Yeah. And also I think like it's more heavy and hard for the families, obviously, than for me because I'm a little more separated. So being able to kind of, how can I come in, help meet a need for a little bit, but then I get to leave at the end of the day, you know, kind of like if someone helps you care for your kids.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. Because as grandparents, I'm a new grandparent, you can say, okay, at the end of the day, here you go. You can take them back, but you're still providing that
support,
which is so critical. So critical. Well, it sounds like you're quite the advocate for the child and the families and have had quite an impact. Is there any particular thing that was ever said to you that has really left a big impact on you?
I feel like so many things. I feel like there's definitely things said, but also it's so nice because so many of our things are events. So getting to actually be around the families and see firsthand, like, okay, this is making an impact. This is bringing joy, seeing families together. There's a lot of sibling sets in foster care, and they don't always end up in the same home. Mm. And so a lot of our events don't really have a cap, especially our bigger events. So there might be 3 different homes that have a sibling set of 3, 4, 5, 6 different kids. And so to be able to provide an event where all these kids can be together as a family and have that time together, even if, you know, day to day they aren't in the same home, I think that is really special and impactful. And I feel like I get to hear a lot of stories from parents that, oh, like our kids got to be together at a Brewers mm-hmm. game, or they got to celebrate a birthday or a holiday because we're providing a space that wouldn't otherwise be there. It's also really special. We really encourage people to invite bio families if they're involved, if there's good relationships.
That's nice. Yeah.
And so just getting to hear about that happening. And even sometimes if parents can't come to an event, they get to see pictures or hear stories. And even if the kids aren't under their care at that time, it's like these are their children and they want them to have fun. They want them to feel special, to be cared for. And so it gets to encourage bio parents too that something exciting and happy and joyful is happening for their kids during a really hard and maybe not so joyful time.
You know, if you're not surrounded by it mm-hmm. on the daily, you don't think about how families can be so separated.
Right.
Like I didn't even yeah. think about that when you said if they're siblings, they could be spread out throughout the
yeah.
community.
Yeah.
And how awesome that there's a place that they can all come back together again.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
be together.
For sure.
Yeah, that's yeah. wonderful. Well, as of early 2026, there are approximately 6,000 to 7,000 children in out-of-home care in Wisconsin. And that includes foster care, kinship care, and residential facilities. When you hear that stat, what goes through your mind?
Yeah.
One is too many, probably, right?
For
right?
sure. Yeah. 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 I mean, I think there's so many levels to that. It's what are we doing to support bio families? Like I said at the beginning, it's some of these parents might have grown up in foster care themselves. And if they never saw what a healthy, supportive family looked like, it might be harder for them to know what it's like to be a parent, to be a stable parent, to have opportunities. So how are we supporting bio families is important. And then foster families, there's some really good foster families out there that might burn out. So how are we supporting them so they don't burn out? There's also some crazy stipulations for foster families in order to bring kids in for how many bathrooms or windows or rooms they have to have.
Oh,
and
okay.
that makes it really hard too. I know some really great families that would want to take in another kid, but they don't have, you know, $20,000 to build a second bathroom. And so it's like, we have these kids that need homes and we have these amazing families and they just can't afford a bathroom. Like just silly things like that, that make it so hard.
Again, you said it's way too many children that are in this situation. But the wonderful thing is that people like you, organizations like yours, are there to provide solutions or at least attempt to provide some way to help the families. What do you think most people don't understand about a foster and adoptive family, what they go through on a day-to-day basis? Not because they don't care, but quite possibly they're just not, again, surrounded by it all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure a lot of things like, right, if you're not in it, how can you understand? A lot of kids in foster care come with trauma that maybe other people wouldn't understand. A lot of learning development disabilities that are just day-to-day things that families have to deal with that maybe other families wouldn't have to deal with. Also just finding care for those kids, being on wait lists, trying to get them to appointments, just so many different extra things that they're doing to care for these children on top of just day-to-day life with the kids and if they have their own children. Also, a lot of people think they can become a foster parent and adopt a kid in 6 months, a year, whatever. And we have some families that have a foster child for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years before they're even adopted. And that can look like a kid going back to their parent and then coming back to the foster home, being reunified, coming back.
Okay.
And there's just so many layers of trauma and conversations and so much happens in those years because it's just inconsistency. And how do these kids know, like, what is home? Who is mom? Who is dad? Like, what does that look like? And that's just something, right? We don't really think about if you're not in it.
And that surprises me because we hear all the time. I see signs around our neighborhood about looking for adoptive families or foster families. Mm-hmm. And we understand that there's a need out there.
For sure.
And that families, if they're able, should step up, but yet they're making it difficult. Mm-hmm. Like you said, if it takes 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years for somebody to actually be able to adopt a child, they're not making it easy. If we know that the need is there and the need is so great and there's people stepping up, but yet they're not making it easy, that's kind of crazy to me.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot wrong with the system, but I don't know if it'll ever be redone.
And, right. and probably not enough time to go through
everything
that you would want to do to fix it. Well, what's a need that you've seen in these families? And I'm sure there are so many that just broke your heart and made you want to work faster or work harder and be the answer to those needs.
I mean, I think the whole reason that I started fostering community is seeing that there is already not a lot of support for foster families. And then once they adopt children, all that support just goes away. And so obviously you still need people walking with you and supporting you once you adopt a child. And then kinship families is when someone in a family is caring for maybe a grandkid, a niece, a nephew, something like that. And just the way the system is, they don't necessarily have any support either because it's kind of still within the family. And so you see a lot of people caring for a kid that isn't technically theirs, but that they are loving as their own, that aren't getting any sort of support. And so, okay, how do we support these people and help them? And you'll hear from a lot of foster families, you know, that they get a stipend for the kids that are in their care, but the stipend doesn't include like, oh, we need to buy a bigger vehicle. We need to get a bigger house, like all these things.
We need to add a bathroom.
Right, exactly. It's like barely is helping, you know, with food or clothes or something. And then if there's something extra that comes up that you would want to do, it's like, do you have the finances for that to think about that? Or if you have to add extra therapy to support these kids. And so we do events to build community, to bring these people together, but then also trying to meet some of those needs that, you know, our need that we can try to help support. And bringing people together isn't just bringing foster parents together. It's also letting foster kids be around other foster kids that look like them, that have families like them, bringing biological kids together so that maybe who also have foster kids in their home can understand, relate, things like that. And then also, right, we need more foster and adoptive and respite providers in the community. And so I think there's a lot of stigmas around foster kids. So we also like to bring in the community to volunteer and do things so that they can see foster kids and be around kids and just kind of see like, this doesn't have to be like a scary thing. Like you can welcome a kid in and love them and care for them. And if you don't feel like you can be on a full-on foster parent, there's respite providers where you care for kids for a short amount of time. And if all you can do is make a meal for a family, like we want to provide an opportunity for you to connect with families and find someone that you can make a meal for, that you can support monthly, things like that.
Yeah. I just talked to a woman recently. She was going through a different situation, but she was in need of care. And she said, I just had somebody call me and say, can we drop off a pizza for you? Mm-hmm. And she said, it sounds so simple. Mm-hmm. But she said that was life-saving for us at that moment in time.
Yeah.
So sometimes the very simple things are such a great blessing to the recipient.
Right.
Right?
Right.
We talked about this idea of it taking a village and collective responsibility when it comes to important tasks like raising a child. So what does it actually look like when a community rallies around a foster or adoptive family? What does being that village really mean in real life? Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but stay tuned and we'll talk about that in more detail when we return.
Milwaukee's philanthropic community is brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. This year, EIG celebrates 30 years of thoughtful growth, personalized service, and community impact. From a kitchen table vision to a boutique wealth management firm, EIG has always put people first, offering transparent advice, fiduciary care, and education that empowers families for generations. To learn more, visit ellenbecker.com.
Welcome back to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and my guest today is Natalie Anderson from Fostering Community. So, Natalie, what does it actually look like when a community rallies around a foster or an adoptive family? What does this being the village mean in real life?
Yeah, I mean, I think just what our events do, just wrapping around them and providing different opportunities and meeting needs. All of our events, we always try to provide a meal too, because you want people to be fed.
Right, right.
Nourished.
That's big
in
with
all
kids.
The ways.
Yes, yes.
Right. It helps bring people in too, like, oh, we don't have to worry about dinner, lunch, breakfast, whatever it is.
For sure.
Maybe then it's pizza. Yes, we do a lot of pizza. But yeah, and then it also just provides a space for people to stay longer too and build that community and connect with each other. There's a lot of being the village within the foster community of just, you know, someone has a resource that someone else needs, a lot of like connecting and sharing resources and education and knowledge and things like that. A lot of foster parents can also be respite providers for each other, which means that they help care for a child. It could be, you know, for an hour while you run to the grocery store, or it could be for a weekend while you go somewhere. And then also just like outside of the foster community, encouraging the greater community to be a part of the village. We had a foster parent the other day reach out that they just got care of two little girls and they wanted some dress up clothes. You know, like that's so simple to some of us, but
oh,
that's
sure.
a need that we can help meet in some sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
We had another family that had a child from another country and wanted to send them to a show that was kind of educational and help represent their culture. And so just different things like that. I have an open email to the families and then I can send emails out to our volunteer list or post on social media just when little needs like that come up.
Well, what would you say is the most common things that families tell you they need, but they couldn't really find it anywhere else?
Well, I think what's kind of unique about our program is that no one needs to go to a Bucks game. It provides an opportunity that these families would never be able to give
right.
their kids, especially mm-hmm. if you're saying, oh, I'm taking 10 kids to a Bucks game. It's like, who can afford that? And also, mm-hmm. you know, some kids might not be able to last through a whole game. So it's like, do you want to spend money on that? But we're providing these opportunities that families wouldn't otherwise be able to give these kids. And then again, it provides greater opportunities of, hey, bring bio siblings to the Brewers game or invite bio parents to our back to school event. And so I think it's kind of meeting a need that maybe families weren't even thinking to ask for. But now that it's there for them, it's providing this greater need of building that community within mm-hmm. the family unit and giving opportunities that they never would have even thought would have been an opportunity for these kids. So
like, I was just going to say, that sounds like so much fun to yeah. just imagine getting a call. Do you want to go to the Bucks game
right.
on Friday?
Yeah.
And yeah, prices are not cheap anymore. And so
yeah.
being able to take a family of four.
Yeah.
How wonderful. What a nice surprise.
Yeah. And it's a surprise for me, too, sometimes when organizations will reach out of, do you want 300 tickets to Disney on Ice? Do you want to send 40
wow.
kids to Paw Patrol? Like all different things. And I'm like,
you're
sure.
like, yes, we do. Yes. Most definitely.
I'm usually like, do you have 300 more tickets? Because I'll probably be able to fill those in like 2 minutes. But like,
how yeah. wonderful, though, that those yeah. opportunities present themselves.
Yeah.
Well, walk us through some of your signature events and what those moments mean to the families who show up.
So going through like a year, in the beginning of the year, we have a water park event. And so we want everyone and anyone who wants to come to be able to come.
Mm-hmm.
And the water park day, again, allows for families to invite bio siblings, aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas. 2 years ago, we had two separate families come and they didn't realize that they were aunts and uncles or like extended family or something. And so these cousins got to be together for the first
oh,
time
nice.
In like so long. And then we have a resource fair usually in April or March. If you are overwhelmed and looking for resources, you can get on Google, but that can feel like a lot. So this
mm-hmm.
is kind of like Google in person, and they just get to walk around and make different connections and meet different resources. And then we do our big back to school event. So we give away backpacks, school supplies, and we kind of set it up like a store, which is fun. So the kids get to like pick out their own backpack and then they just go around and fill their bag up with whatever they need. And then we do our big Christmas event at the end of the year. And we actually do that with the Milwaukee Bucks, which is really fun. So
nice.
I reached out to Mariah a few years ago and just got lucky and she reached back out. And so, yeah, her and I have been doing this big fostering community Christmas the last few years together.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's important for people to realize that you just have to take that step and ask, because
yeah.
if you don't ask, you will not get a yes.
Yeah.
But if you didn't think, as you said, that you would connect with Mariah, you just said, well, let's put it out there and let's try.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, she got back to you and look
yeah.
at what's happened since then.
Yeah.
You know, how you've been blessed as a result of that connection.
Yeah.
So what part of your programs makes you the most proud? This might be a tough question, but because I'm sure you're proud of all the things that you're doing, but not necessarily just the numbers, but the human reality of it.
I think it's individuals that I've gotten to hear stories from or seen opportunities. One thing that comes to mind is, so Brewers games we get to send families to, and I got a video from a foster family and they invited bio mom and it was her first Brewers game ever. And she's in there like cheering and dancing. And like, to me, that was just so special because it's like, we don't limit that these events are only for foster kids. It's for anyone that is touched by foster care adoption, mm-hmm. things like that. And again, from the beginning of this talk, I really have a heart for these moms that have grown out of, even if they didn't grow out of the foster care system, just moms, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so getting to see her have this opportunity was just like super special to me to get to see. I think any stories I hear about siblings getting to be together, it's like, I love my siblings. Like, I would want to be with them all the time. So mm-hmm. getting to know, like, we're providing this space for siblings to be together, whether it's, you know, they get to hang out a lot or they haven't seen each other since Christmas or in a year or something like that, just providing this space. You know, some families just don't have the resources that some of us had to grow up to offer what kids need. And so I think a lot of bio parents get a bad rap, and it's really important to me to kind of change that narrative mm-hmm. around bio parents too, because there's a lot of great parents out there. And again, it's like, let's love the bio mom as much right. as we love this newborn girl that went into foster care.
Nobody yeah. knows what anybody else is going through, and it's yeah. really not fair. I know it's done all the time, but it really isn't fair when you think about it for anybody else to judge someone else's situation. We don't know. Mm-hmm. We don't know what they've been through. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, reducing that stigma, I think, is an interesting topic and mm-hmm. something that is worth yeah. Thinking about. Well, give us a peek inside. Walk us through an example of what a family's life looked like before fostering community and after.
I think when we were talking about someone being in foster care for 8 years, I'm thinking a specific family that I know, you know, they started fostering a little girl and, you know, maybe they met a couple other foster parents around that time, but then those foster parents were able to adopt their child like a year later, 2 years later. And now this foster mom is 6-7 years down the road and still hasn't been able to adopt this little girl. And then she learns about us and we're providing these opportunities for foster parents to come together. So she gets to meet other foster parents that, you know, be around people who get it and who are in the same situations as her. And now she has gotten to adopt that little girl, which is super mm-hmm. exciting. But knowing that we provided a space where she could be around other people who get it so that she wouldn't feel like, okay, I'm on this journey all alone for 8 years. Like, I want people in my life who get it, who can support me. And so I think someone like her who's just kind of journeying alone, providing that community for her. And I think it says a lot to the fact that when we started, you know, we only had a few families and now we're at 400 and counting mm-hmm. where it's like, there is a need. Like, yes. people are showing up. Mm-hmm. And even if someone, the only thing they do in a year is come to 2 Brewers games, it's like, that was impactful and important to them.
Right. We love to share impact stories. I think mm-hmm. it's a great way. We call it POP or proof of performance. It's a really great way for our listening audience, our viewing audience, to understand, how do we know that what you're doing is actually working? So mm-hmm. is there a particular story, a family story that has really stuck with you? I know you shared one before, but do you have any other one that you'd like to share with us?
I don't know. I feel like there are so many families and I don't necessarily know all of them by name, or if all the kids showed up, I wouldn't be able to point like whose kid is whose. Mm-hmm. But I think getting to see families show up to events where it's like, you know, they bring their little kids and then they bring an 18-year-old that they had that, you know, grew up and moved somewhere else, but he's still a part of their family. And now he's getting to come to this event with them. And I think just getting to see those like family connections continue and us getting to provide that space for them. We also walk with families through hard things. So one family that was or is a part of our community, she had a little boy and she had him for a while, and she's a single mom caring for him. And eventually he went to be with an aunt, and that was really hard because she had been caring for him for years, and then she just didn't get to see him anymore. And then she ended up getting a little girl that she was able to adopt in about a year. And so it's just getting to see like celebrations with families too. Oh, yeah. And getting to walk with them through those things. And yeah. there's these 2 moms that I think are amazing, and they already have so many kids, and at an event they showed up with another kid, and I was like, what are you doing? And they're like, well, like, he was just like at the agency, like they had nowhere for him, and they're like, how can we say no? And so mm-hmm. it's just like, right, you just like, you just gotta have love and like yes. open arms and maybe enough bathrooms and bedrooms depending yes. on the situation. But yeah, I think there's just like really awesome people that I get to know and hopefully like provide opportunities to. Yes. So
well, and I really appreciate you sharing the stories? Because again, I think it's one thing to say we have this program, but quite another to say this is the program we have, and this is really how it's impacting families, and this is how. So I appreciate you sharing that. What does fostering community need most right now in order to reach more families with what you do?
I mean, I think volunteers are always great, especially a lot of our big events. I tried to start like a smaller grant program. I would love to be able to provide other opportunities to families. And obviously finances are helpful, but if there's a group of volunteers who are willing to kind of step in and meet certain needs, like I said, with this family that wants dress ups for their daughter, it's like no one needs to be paying $100 a month for that to happen. But it's just like, if we can shoot out an email and be like, do you have like one or two dresses your kids don't need? Again, just like showing up, being that community. We have a couple of people that make meals and are willing to make meals monthly. And it can be as simple as like buying bagged salads and throwing some pasta and sauce together. It's just like blesses families. They don't have to think about it. A meal is waiting for them.
Costco is great for that. You go and you get those big meat pies or those big shepherd's pie, the bagged salad, like you said.
Yeah.
Because some people are like, you know, I don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
But I can take a half an hour to go to Costco.
Oh, with our 400 families, I can probably find a family that lives within 5 to 10 minutes of you. So it's also not like an undertaking.
So the individual or the family that is providing a meal, they take it to the adoptive or foster family home?
Yep, that's how we do it sometimes. Otherwise, we have families that will meet up or that are building community. And then sometimes at some of our bigger events, it's like you can make baked goods, you can bring something. We do partner with different churches and things like that who we've kind of vetted so that it's I don't want to just be giving out people's addresses. And we want people to meet up and like good, safe situations.
Right. Even just be praying for your organization.
Yeah.
You know, praying for you that, you know, you're led to those people that really need the help that you provide.
Definitely. And so I think if there's people listening that are like, I have a play space, I can face paint, you know, whatever it is, it's like, great, let me know and we can make an opportunity happen or we can create an event out of that or different things like that. Because I don't know how to face paint and I don't have a massive backyard. Like so many of our events happen because of those community connections and different things. And so I love connecting and learning about things like that. I think if people are really passionate, we want to have them involved, whether it is like on our board or as a main volunteer. I think just if you're listening and something is pulling at your heart, reach out and we can find something.
Okay. What's that first step then? You said they should reach out.
Yeah.
What's the first step for people listening right now to take if they want to be a part of that village? And what are the connections, meaning phone number, Facebook page, website? What's the best way for people to connect with you?
Yeah, I would say so. We do have a website. So it's fostering-community.com. And there's a thing on there where they can send an email. And then that will also have links to like our Instagram, Facebook, things like that. And then we do have a page that will say maybe what one of our events, like bigger events happening is. So if people want to get involved with that. And then we do have a meal sign up on there too, so that I can help connect people in different cities and things like that. But yeah, I would say the best way to reach out is just send an email and let me know what your heart desires. And just, and if you're kind of like, I don't know, but I'm here, then I'll let you know when our next event is. And yeah, we can get you connected. And but be warned, you might become a foster parent if you. We definitely have had a handful of people, especially at our Christmas event, that will come to the Christmas event as a volunteer. And then I see them the next year as a foster parent, which is great because that's what we want to see and we want to do. Yeah, that could happen. Yeah. And we hope it does. So
what you were doing was really connecting people. And I think not just our community, but I really think all over the country, people want to help. You know, they want to help in some way. They just don't know what's the best way to do that. We never have enough time to get to everything. We could probably be talking for hours and hours, right? But I appreciate you visiting with us today. I appreciate all the ways that you help and support the fostering community. If anybody wants to reach out and you didn't get a chance to write down the resources that Natalie shared, remember that you can get contact information and other information in our show notes. I encourage you, our listeners, to stay tuned every week. Every Thursday, we have a new episode that will drop and you'll learn about a wonderful organization like Fostering Community that is making a difference here in southeastern Wisconsin and beyond. And you can also learn how to use your time, talents, and resources to make a difference in some way. So always remember, if you are at home, at work, or out in the community, find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If something in today's conversation resonated with you, share it with a friend or family member. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe education and community impact go hand in hand. That's why we love bringing you thoughtful insights from leaders and organizations who care deeply about making a difference in Milwaukee and beyond.
Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes and to highlight philanthropic efforts in our community. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellen Becker Investment Group employees and leaders. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll see you next time.